1 Corinthians. If you want to look up other places, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, there's other spots in the Bible that list different types of gifts. Gifts of wisdom, gifts of having resilient faith, gifts of healing and miracles, spiritual languages, encouragement, generosity, acts of mercy, gifts to teach like our Kids Zone folks back there, prophesying, leadership, shepherding, serving, and the list goes on. If you're not sure what your specific gifts are, many of you already are, and that's awesome. Many of you are already serving in the areas that you're gifted in. You're a round peg, and hopefully you're serving in a round hole. We don't want you serving in a square hole if you're a round peg. I said that right. Good. If you're not sure what your gifts are, please talk to me, and we will help you discover your place and space in this group together. Because quite frankly, I need you, and you need me, and we need we. Amen. Together. Amen. That's how the church has always worked. I can be out in my boat, out on the Delta. I can be in my tent, out in the wilderness, doing things that I love, meeting Jesus in a different way. But only here together in the church, the body of Christ, will we experience and help one another to grow in faith, to become disciples of Christ. People that say, I love Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church, often there's good reason for saying that. People have been wounded by the church, and we acknowledge that. And we repent when people are wounded, and we say, I'm sorry. Let us do better. This sense of togetherness is so important, my brothers and sisters, because there are many parts, but one body. Now, we wish we had three hands at times so we could do more, or three legs so we could walk a little bit faster, or, you know, different parts. But we each have a part to play. We have a role. But we are part of one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and then 18 and 19 says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. But our bodies have many parts. God has put each part where he wants it. I want you to hear that again. God has put each part, this is you and me, where he wants it. You may not matter in other parts of your life or out in the world in different arenas, but here, always you matter because God has placed you where he wants you. It says, how strange a body would be if it had only one part. One of the things Rebecca told me this week, as her body has been struggling, is that she wishes at times that she was a head soul, where she was just sort of like a floating head with a soul and didn't have to worry about all of the stuff going on in her body. Like she was just a brain soul. And maybe some of you have experienced that at times when your body really lets you down. But the reality is that we are created with bodies, and we are embodied by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ within us. And when you say yes to Jesus, this body, however frail and broken it might be, will begin to be transformed until the day Christ returns, and what we receive? Resurrection bodies. We don't know what that's going to be like. I'm praying that it's amazing, and I'm sure it will be. And we await that day, but we don't know what that's going to be like. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. If you want to separate yourself, it's like cutting an arm off. How's that going to work? For you and for us. It's not pleasant. If you believe in Jesus, then you are gifted by the Spirit and you are called by Christ to use the gifts that he gives you to serve God How can we serve God? By helping one another to grow. If we can't help one another to grow, how can we ever hope to be a witness for Christ out in the world if we ourselves are not growing? I want to say this carefully. We like to know what our gifts are. We may even want to know where we can use our gifts. But you know what's just as important, maybe even more important than what your gift is and where you're using it? It's how you're using it. Because you can have the greatest gift in the world. You can be the most eloquent speaker, but if you use that inappropriately, it destroys everything. You might be the greatest at something, but if you use it inappropriately, it destroys your credibility. It destroys your integrity. How you use your gifts is just as important than what they are. 1 Corinthians 13 reveals how we are always to use the gifts that God gives us. This is the third point. We use our gifts to act only in, what do you think? Love. Good. Some of you might have had 1 Corinthians 13 before, if you've been in the Word for a while. We use our gifts to act only in love. In God's measuring stick, love is the only measure to how we're doing at growing from believing in Jesus to becoming a disciple of Jesus. Only love. If you want to know if someone is growing, if you want to know that you are growing, how's your love? How's the love that you are showing in your life towards those around you? And not just any love. We're not talking about being all more lovey-dovey or more emotional. We're talking about the kind of love that, if you want to know more about the kind of love that God looks for, read the rest of 1 Corinthians 13. How are you doing at being patient? Kind. Are you getting angry a lot? That doesn't cut it. You can read the rest of the chapter. Let me read a couple of verses for us. Verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Some of you have heard that verse before. Without love, any potential that your words might have to inspire someone, to maybe even cause someone to change, including yourself, is gone if you have not love. If you speak words and they are not in love, people will avoid or block out the noise coming out of your mouth. What's that line from the movie? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? If we don't speak in love, then no, we don't understand the words that are coming out of our mouths. Verse 2 says, if I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plan, wouldn't that be amazing? If I possessed all knowledge, wouldn't that be amazing? And if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. You could have all knowledge. You could know everything, all of God's plan. And if you did not love others, it's nothing. I don't know. I read that. I know. You shook your head. I was thinking, mind blown. Like, man, wouldn't it be so great to know everything? Then I could invent things, you know, and like make a lot of money and all that stuff. No, if I didn't love others, I would be nothing. Without love, all that you know will be stored away or taken from you. Another example of lost potential. You're gifted, but you have no ability to apply it if you don't know how to love others. Verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body. Oh, so many church folk love this part. I want to just serve. I want to sacrifice myself so that somehow God will see all that I'm doing. Without love, it says, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Without love, all that sacrifice, all that serving, all the checks that you write, you can keep on writing those checks, but all the checks that you write eventually come to no benefit. Any spiritual gains that you might think that you're gaining, if you have not love, they evaporate away like fog in the day. Acting in the spirit and character of love is non-negotiable for a disciple of Christ. To act in love, you got to grow in love. You got to learn how to love. Some of you have been really wounded, and this is hard for you. And you have to even start from the very beginning. How can I actually start to love? How can I start to trust someone? Well, it can start with Jesus himself by saying, okay, Jesus, I choose to trust you, and I'm going to learn to love you. And in time, you can use your spirit-given gifts to bless others in love. When we bless others in love, when we're serving, working to become a deeper disciple, a more committed disciple, giving of ourselves to other people, we get to experience a taste of what Jesus calls the abundant life. You know, the abundant life isn't necessarily about what you're receiving. It's about what you receive from giving. We have a picture of what this abundant life at this time of year, actually out here it's a long period of time, but this is a picture of harvest. This is a fruit stand. This is all the harvested fruit from one of the areas. Doesn't that look amazing? If you don't like fruit, I'm sorry. But this is an amazing picture of harvest. And as disciples of Christ, we love experiencing harvest. We love seeing people come to faith. We love seeing people get baptized. We love seeing people break cycles of addiction and make real change in their life, do 180s and turn around. You know, that's God's glorious work. That's thankful work. That's joyful work. We love experiencing harvest. But how did all that fruit get there in the first place? Matthew 9 says this, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. We like harvest. We like seeing fruit. And because Christ calls each of us to engage in harvest work, we often want to speed up the harvest. We want to see harvest right now. Have you ever bit into a piece of fruit that's not quite ready? Have you ever, let's see, around here we have a lot of avocados. Have you ever opened up an avocado and you're ready to just make some nice guacamole or something, and it's a little bit too hard, and you're trying to mash it, and you're like, this is not going to be very good. I better wait a few more days. You know, as Christians in the church, we love harvest. We want to see people come into faith. And sometimes we want to jump the gun and speed it up. Like, God, come on, what are you waiting for? We want more. We want to see more. We want to do more. And Jesus says, I need more workers. I don't need more farmers. I got the seed covered. It's my seed. I need workers. So we try to sometimes do this. We have another picture. We say, well, I'm just going to scatter more seed. Okay? There's churches even called, you know, a scattering seed church, things like that. We try to do this. We say, okay, God's not moving fast enough. I'm going to scatter his seed even more. And that's not necessarily wrong. It's faithful, noble work. And a lot of Christians, a lot of followers of Jesus feel like this is what they're supposed to do. But what we really need to do is start with this last picture. If you're not a farmer, well, Ray knows this as a gardener, master gardener, sorry. It doesn't start with harvest. It doesn't start with seed. It starts with the soil. Start with the soil, not the seed. And that is the hard, difficult work. If you've ever gone out, if you have a backyard, ours is all kind of dry and cracked right now. It's hard. If I was going to go out there and try to till it up, I would be sweating in about 5 seconds. To get to like nice soil like this, this is not our backyard. I had to buy this. This is hard work to get soil like this. It takes work and effort. This is not harvest work. There's no glory in taking that hoe and trying to till that down. It's backbreaking work. It's the hard work, and it's the work that most people need to do but don't want to do. Luke 13 says this. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden. Might be a man named Tim. I know you guys have a fig tree. No, it's not Tim, because this is a different story. And he came away again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed, so it can't be you. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years. There hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. We start with the soil, not the seed. We start with the soil, not the harvest. A fruitful harvest is a joyful, thankful result. We said that. And scattering seed is faithful, patient work. But soil preparation is the hard, necessary work that if you want to grow deeper as a disciple or become a disciple, you have to do. If you're not willing to do it, then there are plenty of alternatives. You can be a believer and never become a disciple. Because a disciple is one who is going to do whatever it takes to grow deeper and more connected with Christ. There are plenty of people who say they believe, but never really get connected to the Lord that they profess to follow. We don't want to be that statistic. Jeremiah 4 says this about soil preparation. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Don't waste your good seed among thorns. Surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the Lord. And this was just one verse. There were other verses that said it similarly. My friends, soil preparation, this is the work that the Spirit gifts you with the ability to do. You might think that it's hard, and it is hard, but he gifts you with the ability to do it. This is the work that Jesus sees you doing in your heart. It's the work that maybe nobody else sees. It's the work where those of you, I know some of you have shared how, you know, you're working more to read your Bible, or you're working with your kids to learn how to read their Bible. Those steps that just take time and effort. Maybe nobody else ever sees that, but Christ sees it, sees that work that's going on in your heart, and it leads you to become a stronger disciple. This is the work, my brothers and sisters, that will produce the results that you desire to see as your life grows into an abundant harvest. Why do we want to have this harvest life? Because this is the fruit that the world sees in us. If the world sees nothing, they want nothing. There's nothing wantable if we're not producing any fruit. In fact, the Bible says if any tree doesn't produce fruit, what happens to it? It gets cut down and thrown into the unquenchable fire. I don't want that. Soil preparation. This is the hard work that we're going to do this year. Some of you might be ready, some of you might not be ready, but together we will do this. So I want to ask one intimate, personal question as we conclude today. How is the soil of your heart? How is the soil of my heart, you can ask yourself. I have four soils. I think there's a parable about four soils. I brought this on Easter. Some of you are like, oh no. This was a beautiful basil plant in April. And now, after a hard summer, it's nothing. I've tried to resurrect it. I don't have resurrection power. This soil is so hard. We moved it to a new location, but it didn't want to grow. It was resistant. This is hard soil, resistant to that change. We moved it to a new location thinking, man, it's going to grow and flourish and bloom, and it didn't. The soil is now hard. This was a pot that I have outside, and no, these rocks didn't just appear in it. I put them there so the cats would stop pooping in it outside, trying to keep them away. There's not much that's going to grow in here, even though I have something planted in here. The likelihood that something's actually going to sprout out of this, it's pretty choked right now. It's hard to get anything through this rocky soil. This is one that actually was planted in our yard. This wasn't. At least in the spring, it wasn't there. And after the plant that was in here died, this took over. And if you look close, I'll even show you. Look at all those little things. An actual thorny bush that pricked my finger yesterday grew up in this, sitting in my yard. This thorny soil is not going to allow much to grow either. And this was a little shoot that popped up right where one of the bags of soil that I had in my yard, and it fell over, and that soil was sitting there on the soil or on the ground, and this popped out. I don't know what it is. It's probably a weed, but it grew because the soil was fertile. What is it? It's a palm. Cool. I didn't know that, so I learned something. Awesome. All because the soil was good. How's the soil of your heart? Where's the soil? Where are you at today? Hard, rocky, choked, fertile. I want you to know that wherever you are right now, the Spirit of God is already with you. You might think that there's no way that you can grow, and on your own, you cannot, if you're hard, if you're resistant to change. But with the power of the Spirit, anything is possible, and you can do what you could not do before. You might have obstacles in your way. You might have other priorities that are crowding out your life right now. Whatever it is, your soil can grow if you're willing to put the time and work into it. What is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you right now? I put that question on the bottom of your bulletin. You can answer that in your own way and in your own time. The Spirit is with you right now. What is the Spirit speaking to you? What kind of work is it going to take for you to grow this year? I can't make you grow. Your family can't make you grow. The person sitting next to you can't even make you grow. But the Spirit can help you to grow. Before you go today, as we conclude our time together, make sure you take time to look at the inspiration that happened in this body of followers of Jesus. The way that the Word of God inspired them to grow in different ways. Take time, read about it, ask them a question. Maybe ask them, hey, how'd you come to create this in this way? And may they inspire you to use what God has given you to grow. I know you can do this. I know you can grow into the disciple that God desires of you. I know it because we do this together. May God bless you and give you this ability to grow this year. What kind of harvest are you going to produce? I don't know, but I can't wait to see. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray a special blessing over this group of people this morning, that your Spirit would come alive, that you would rejuvenate the soil of their heart, cause them to grow in ways that they never imagined. If there are areas of resistance, God, break that apart. If there are areas of new growth, then continue to feed that growth. God, may we produce fruit in abundance for all the world to see and share and be blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.